אני לחומש. חוף ה-7, תשם פייבוב, רב ישראל יעקב סלם שליטה.
Good morning, Rabbi. I would like today to just talk a little bit about the importance and the chashivas and the power that a person has through his mind, through his seichel. A seichel is the be'etzem, extremely powerful thing that we've got, that the Baruch Hashem gave us, and be'etzem is something which is a keli which we can utilize, and that's what I'd like to discuss. So this is Parasha, the Meragim, they came back and they said, let's not do it, let's throw, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, we're not going to manage, and rather we knew the chet that was behind it, wherever the chet was, it's different spirit. So then Kalev and Yeshua went and said, no, don't, they asked Kalev, as we all know, and then there's a pasuk that says, Ach b'Hashem al tevroidu, don't rebel Hashem, don't rebel the Ribbono Shel Olam, atem tirah, and you'll see. And some more, it's they're like literally now, like bread and butter. We can just go and take them out. It's not a problem. So to the Malay, Hashem Itonu, the Bereshit is going to fight for us when we go to Israel, and we'll be able to win over. As much as the rest of the Meraglim said that they are powerful, maybe they are mighty, but the Bereshit is going to look after us. He's not told us we're going to Israel, so we're not going to go on our own. So don't worry. Calm down. Relax. The Chofetz Chaim brings this pasuk, Ach b'Hashem al temroidu, I quoted this already a few times, I think maybe over here, that the pshat are this, Yitochen maybe Kalisor at the time, they weren't holding by the Hamadrega Machmas this chet, let's say. But the main thing is, Ach b'Hashem al temroidu, do not rebel. Don't rebel. The Bereshit will see that we don't rebel. Zolzai maybe, we're not on the Madrega maybe, that Hashem maybe had thought originally for us to be able to be Zeichet, but as long as we don't rebel, that's what the Chaim brings. As long as we don't rebel, the Bereshit will save us. We'll help us and we'll be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. The main thing is we don't rebel. Rebellion is something which is a much worse level than somebody just not following instructions. Rebellion is a different story. As we know, rebellion is a much more level against the person. You don't follow instructions, I don't know why, he doesn't get bothered, whatever it is. But to rebel is obvious a lot worse. We find that in this Nakuda of rebellion, this parasha is not the first time that Kali saw rebel. And it's a very interesting parasha. And last week, Cedra, we have two chatoim, two problems that Kali saw had gone through. One was called Misoinanim. The first one was called Misyonim, and the next one was called Asafsof, which was Betzim, very similar if you look at Rashi. And Rashi says an amazing thing over here. The Misyonim were complainers. Like, that's the translation of the word Misyonim, to complain. So Rashi says over here, Muri de Kazach, Misyonim, Ein Misyonim Ele Loshen Alila, Mavakshim Alila, Heich Lifroish Ma'achem Mokim. They were poshut looking for an excuse, looking for a way to say, no, there's something wrong over here, let's go back to Mitzrayim. They were just looking to wreak havoc. That's all they were trying to do. As we should do in Rashi. And Rashi says there, further, another quite an akuda here, he brings over here, Rab Ozni Hashem, Toyano, she rob Ozni Hashem. Shemiskavnim Shatovai Ba'ozno Yaknit. They wanted to rebel in a way that the Bereshit will hear about it. Now that is a very strong rebellion. So let's say a person is not happy with what, let's say, his boss, how he's treating him. So fine, so a normal person will try and wiggle out of it or try and just be a menschlich to him and, you know, do the best he could. Even though deep down in at home he won't be happy with the way he's being treated. But rebellion is you're making comments and bedafka against the person who's treating the way he is, and you want him to hear it. That's a lot worse. You're trying to just chap at the guy because you want to show him back. This is what Chazal are doing against the Bnei Shlomo. This is Betzem, a profound chet Betzem. And now Kaleb and Yeshua, it seems they were choishesh, they were going on the same lines. They were betting the Bnei Shlomo again. It's a sort of amazing place. Why are you bickering about the fact that they're strong? We all know the Bnei Shlomo told us already before we asked Mitzrayim, we're going to be strong. Why are you making such an issue out of this? The terrorists is because they were just pushing, looking for rebellion. This again in last week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu, unbelievable Rashi here. Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, "You know what? Maybe I'll try and speak to them and to calm them down." So Rashi brings it. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "It's not going to work." Rashi brings it here. I'm going to follow them. I'll try and calm them down, make them please them. I'm going to ask the Tirkei Chodavar. You'll see if I'm right or wrong. Shelo yishim lecha. Halach Moshe lefaisan. So he went and tried to appease them. Amar lehem, Hayav Hashem tiksa. What do you think? Hashem can't do whatever he needs for us. Hey, nikotu veizubu. He gave us water. Hakam lechem yuchates. He gave us man. Amu pshari yizum. This is not the real thing. He can't give us what we really want. Yeah. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood that Taka Hashem, but Hashem is right. Klal Yisrael will not listen. What happened to them? What happened to Klal Yisrael over here? Where are they gone? Where they've fallen such a low madriga? The Torah says they were here now in an oifen of rebellion. They were here in a massive idol. It was just the arm, it was the ear wrap. When it comes to rebellion, you can't reason with them. You can't talk them out of it. They're in it and finished. There's no way. Once he's holding back, I don't care. Doesn't matter how many reasons you can give him, he is not interested. That's the Metzias, and that's the Metzias as well. Today as well, there's also this element. We also have this element, and sometimes we're chinchap. Why am I not giving in? Oh, it's probably not because of these reasons. These reasons are just excuses. It's not, sometimes you have to know, is it just an excuse? But really, there's something deeper? Oh no, maybe this is really what's bothering him. So in fact, this is the Nakuda of Ach Vashem Al Timroidu. Ach Vashem Al Timroidu. So, Merida, Be'etzem, is the opposite of Merida. What's the opposite of Merida? Before the opposite of Merida, Rabbi Yoni writes, what's Merida? Rabbi Yoni writes, a Meridika thing. He says in the beginning of his Sefer, Shari Tshuva, he explains that a person has to be makabal upon himself the entire oil Adoyin of Olaf. He has to cover himself upon the entire Torah and mitzvah that Hashem has given us. We've got to makabal it. That's stage one. And then he says, and what happens if a person is one of them, just one of those things, he says, this I can't do. I'm happy to keep everything, but this is something which I'm not willing to give. I'm not willing. Not chat, I can't do it now. I'm not willing. Right? You hear this expression sometimes. I'm not willing to do that. Right? Your person can say, I can't now. I wish I could, but I'm upon him. Zogde ben Yoina, if a person, even if it's just one nekuda, kva porak mimenu oil adoinov. You've broken away the entire oil of your master. Because a slave can't go and tell his master, yeah, for sure, I'm your slave. I'm totally subdued to you, but not that. It doesn't go. That if you've got the ability to say, but not that, that means you're not a slave. You're not subdued to the other property. So now, Be'etzem, the opposite of precious oil is Kabbalah, is to accept the Torah mitzvahs in the Bein Shleilam. To accept it, not to do it yet. It's not to do it. We're not about to Makai in terms of the stage before that. To push it, accept that whatever the Torah is, Matsavami, I'm willing to do and I'm willing to keep properly. Now, this Nakud of accepting, L'chir, it's a very, very easy thing to do, but it's also very, very difficult. And I'll explain to you what I mean. We know when it comes to tshuva, there's three halakim to tshuva. There's a kavod la'abo, to accept them in the future, you won't do these things again. And there's azivas achet, to leave alone the chet, don't fall into it again. And then there's also charata, to have charata, to regret. Those are the main three halakim of tshuva. Now, what is the hardest chelik? We think about it, try to think about it. What's the hardest chelik of these three things? To accept upon yourself never to do it again, to leave alone, and to have charata, to really regret. So, if you think about it properly, kabbalah la'avah, to accept that I'm not interested, I don't want to do any more these averas, these maisim, to accept it, to really decide that this is not how I want to live, this is not what I want to continue doing. Once you've accepted it, then it's much easier to leave the khayt. Then the more you've accepted, the more easy it is to have charata, because how can I, then suddenly you get to realize, you're now holding by a place where I don't want to do it again. Suddenly the charata kicks in. If a person is the whole time, yeah, no, I'm not really so sure if I'm willing, if I'm not, how can you have charata? Because I'm not really ready yet to leave alone. So ba'atim kabbalah abah, the kabbalah abah chelik of tshuva is the most profound chelik of tshuva. But it's in a way it's the hardest, because for a person to accept, to really, really decide he wants to be better, it's very, very hard. To decide, not the actual polis, but just to decide, I really do want to be better and I don't want to continue on the way I was last year, it's very, very difficult. It's very, very hard that, to really decide, to make that firm decision. Now, once you've made a decision to leave the chet alone, so why is it easy? It's easy because it's just a decision. There's nothing. You don't have to actually change. You don't have to actually do anything yet. You don't have to now become the. It's just a decision. You sit in your home and you're making a firm decision. So it's not bad. It's a hard thing to do. It's just difficult to reach that, to be able to really accept and to do that. Because so now. There's a Mississippi Sharm. Mississippi Sharm writes, as we know, the Pinchas Sharim, he goes through slowly, slowly, higher and higher levels of Avodas Hashem. And in Perek Yod Aleph, he talks about Nekiyas. Nekiyas means to be clean from Averis. Not only just not to do the Averis, but to keep away from them. And Perek Yod Aleph is one of the biggest prokem of Mesidus Hashem. And at the end, he says there, fascinating thing. He says that to makabal all this, to stop from doing all of these things, it's like a task. It's a task. It's a life's work. But he says, but the main thing, I don't have the Lashon in front of me here. He says, that, but the main thing is the Kabbalah. The main thing, because he says the Nesoyon is it proves it. I don't know where he knows the Nesoyon proves it, that when a person is makabal upon himself, everything goes by itself. Everything really goes on its own, because you don't want to anymore. Your Kabbalah, your hachlata, your decision that you had made to become better, is now so firm that automatically he'd be willing to follow suit and to not continue on doing whatever it was. So that's Hashem is a shame. You might have thought that's a very difficult task. True. But if once you've made your decision, then everything goes by much easier. Everything is much smoother. Because it's the Kabbalah, it's the Achlata. It's the Achlata. I heard a beautiful idea from Rabbi Tzion Salomon. He said this. He said that we know there's such a Musa called Ol Malchus Shemayim. Ol Malchus Shemayim. Person has makabal upon himself. Ol Malchus Shemayim. He said, "What's Ol Malchus Shemayim?" He said, "What oil? What is oil? Oil is a yoke. Now, what's a yoke? A yoke is you've got a horse. You want him to carry to pull with him extremely heavy carriage. So you put on him a yoke, or oxes to be able to plow on the field. You put on him a yoke. Now, what is a yoke?" He said this. A yoke is not the master. It's not the burden. The yoke is a contraption that if you put on him properly and you put on him comfortably, he's comfortable in him, then he's able to accept the burden behind him. So in other words, the yoke is not the burden. The yoke is there in order to make it easier for him to be able to take the burden. He says, Oil Malchus Shemayim is not a burden. Who used to be very busy with Bacharim and with the Solomon, with the Karim Kaufman, the two of them used to be very busy with pressure. The back in the times, 30 years ago, Bacharim were busy with pressure. I can't take it, too much pressure. And so they were busy very, very much to try and convince the Bacharim that Yiddishkeit is not pressure. Yiddishkeit is geschmack. He says, this is not, Oil Malchus Shemayim is not a pressure. Oil Malchus Shemayim is a pashat, a way to be able to, you have to find the right way that you're able to accept the Malchus Shemayim and the Geshmak Atzura. The actual Malchus Shemayim, that if you have an oil, if it's set on you properly, then the Malchus Shemayim is, you're able to, Yeah, Nechama. So the slave is the nekudah of accepting the oil. It's a slave, the same thing with a slave. The minute, as long as a slave inside him, he's fighting his Adon, then it's very hard for him to work for his Adon. But the minute he accepts him, and he tells himself, this is my Adon, this is my master, and I have to follow, and I have to listen to everything he says, I don't have a choice, I was sold to him, it's too bad. Then, once he made that decision, it's much easier to listen to him and to do all the activities that he has to do for his Adon. So, mainly, it's like this. The main nakuda, I'm looking just from one angle now. The main nakuda of accepting Torah and mitzvahs is the acceptance. It's possible to accept. The minute one's accepted it, then everything is a lot easier. The minute one's holding by a level that he can accept, it's a lot easier. A person is made up of two elements. A person, we all know, is made up of a neshama and a guf. Before this nakuda, we all have a guf, we all have a body, and we have a nature, a body gets pulled to nature, it's a natural thing. Person wants to follow the taivas, and sometimes it's a chet as well, it's not allowed or peter as well, but b'chlal, the guf is, the metzias is, our guf, that's the gift the Gershom gave us, he gave us this guf, and the metzias is that the guf is nimshach, achar, ohilo mazeh, that's the metzias. Now how do you fight it? So either you can keep on fighting the guf and say, no, it's not for you, no, it's not good. The guf will not listen. He will not listen. Pashut, he won't be interested. He's not interested in what you're talking about, because that is what the guf is. That is what our guf is there for, to have anas oilam hazeh. So what's it going to help to just fight the guf direct, head on? It's not going to help. So how do you do it? So you bring yourself, you bring another nekuda, you bring something else into your world, and that is you bring your seichel. You bring your seichel, and you make a achlotas. That this is not how I want to live. I mean, forget your guf. Ignore the guf. Ignore the taivas that you have. Leave them alone. Don't fight them head on. But focus. Focus on wanting to serve Hashem, wanting to daven properly, wanting to learn properly, wanting to do gemilas chasodim, wanting to work on midas. Focus on that. And even though the guf is going to keep on nagging you and stopping you, ignore. The guf will have to automatically follow with. That is betzem, that is really what say limud amusa, and say if you learn other svarim, chassidish svarim, if you learn any svarim with chizuk, the main nekuda is to lift ourselves up and to put ourselves in the world of the seichel, and to make a chlotas brewers, this is how I want to act my life, and to leave the guf, let the guf do what it needs to do, but slowly the guf, a person will notice, the guf will automatically slowly will follow with because he's going with his seichel, which he made his decision on. When I was in yeshiva, so we used to have a mandashir there. He always used to say that a bacher, he comes to yeshiva and he can't learn. It's hard for him to learn. It's hard for him to learn. He can't. Zokta, the main thing is that you want to learn. That's what he used to say. And what happens if the bacher doesn't want to learn? Doesn't want to learn. So he used to tell us, so at least you have to want to learn. You have to want to come to a level that you actually want to learn. So at least, even though you don't now want to learn, but at least want to come to one day that you'll want to learn. So, meaning, the first nakuda, a person needs to want. You need the rots. You need to want to do the right things. That's right. Now, but the question is, how does a person want to do the right thing? That's the million-dollar question. How do you want to? I don't want to. I don't want to. I prefer to have a siddur mahazeh. Don't want to. How does a person come to want to do the right thing? So, be'etzem, the answer to that is that we use our seichel, like I was telling you till now. But what's in the seichel? What is a seichel? The seichel be'etzem is where the neshama is. The person has to connect himself to his neshama. Person, as much as it's hidden, as much as he can't see it, he can't feel it, but a person has a neshama, everyone will have a neshama that can't mal in us. And a person, the more he connects himself to the neshama, and he's more than the neshama, even if it's really, really, really small, but he's more than the neshama, then automatically he'll see that he's got the rotzen to the right thing. Because every yid, that's what the neshama is. The neshama wants to strive, go back up. He wants to be elevated. He comes from an elevated place, and he's sitting over here in our gulf, and we don't see the neshama. We keep on concentrating on our gulf. But the more the person gives himself the opportunity to just open up a little bit into the neshama that he's got, into the koyach haruchni that he's got, maybe he'll want. It's a metzias. The reason why we don't want is because we're not aware that we've got within us a koyach and a neshama. But the minute we allow ourselves, just from time to time, wherever it is, to allow a person allow himself to appreciate that he's got a neshama within him, he'll see his desire will come. I thought of a marshal. If you have an aeroplane. So the aeroplane it drives in the airport. It drives, right? It drives, but it goes on wheels and it moves in the airport. Right? Now if you go tell the aeroplane, let's say you can talk to the aeroplane, tell the aeroplane, stop this driving. Why are you driving? Why are you crawling all over the place here and there? Stop it, don't do this. So you'll say, what do you mean, why not? I've got wheels, I've got an engine, why not? And he won't listen to you. Why should he listen to you? But if you tell him that you don't realize you have wings, and you tell him that the truth is you're not supposed to be driving, this crawling in the airport is just in order to be able to get up into air. Because what you really are supposed to be doing is you're supposed to be flying. You're not supposed to be crawling in the airport until you get onto the runway. That's your job, right? So obviously the airplane won't want to crawl, won't want to drive, because he knows his ability is not really the driving. His ability is the flying, right? And when he goes in the air, he hides his wheels because he's embarrassed of this this mundane thing he has of driving slowly, because he won't stop flying. Yeah? It's the same thing with us. If you tell a human being, if you tell a heed, Why are you so into the Gashmias? I'll say, what do you mean? Because it's Gashmias. We all know Gashmias. What do you want from me, Lee? What do you want? But if you tell him that you have wings, if you tell him that you've got an Neshama and you're not better than this, and as long as you get him to chap and to pack a seer, then he won't stop flying. Then he'll constantly utilize his energy into this chelik that he's got. Because Be'etzem, that's much more powerful, it's much more immense, the mundane activity, as much as it looks geschmack, and it is geschmack, but once a person appreciates that he's got a lot more than that, then it's a lot easier for him. It's a lot easier for him to follow and to put koichas into that chelem. We know that this is the Be'etzem, the difference between a yid and a goy. This is better than the difference in us. We all have the same gashmias. We've got the same guf. And we've all got chiyas. But we've got the element of chiyas, which is called the neshama, which overrides this nekuda that a goy doesn't have. If you go and explain to a goy the nekuda, ruchnias, try and explain it, and you won't understand it. As even if he's got the seichel like we have, so it's not the seichel, it's the same seichel, you might have better IQ than us. But he won't understand the kuda of ruchnis. Why? Because he doesn't have the keys, he doesn't have the tools, he doesn't have this neshama that he can go into and he can feel and he can see. He doesn't have it. Pasha doesn't have the metzias. He's got achias. He's got very strong achias, which also comes from lamala. But this nekuda of the ruchni of the chelik kamei mal, the goy doesn't possess. Meila, we've got to understand that we possess so much. We possess so much. Our gashmis is taka. The taka is here, it's the whole time around us, but we possess so much more than that. And that's like our taka sachaim over here, to be able to masakan, to be able to live in the world of ruchni. We say, there's a lot of bracha, somebody was married to me. We say every morning, bracha Hashem yikin v'chayla, shalei asani goy. Now someone's married to me as follows. We know that be'etzem, a person, lachem v'esem, he goes to the Olam Hamas. He's still chayv a kayom. He's an oyman and shomis. So his guf is become do you what? Yeah, become the guf. Fine, we say this. The guf is, but we still exist. There's no such thing. We still exist. Now we're in a different form. We're now an oyman and shomis. So it's be'etzem. Who am I? I'm be'etzem man and shomis. I'm not my guf. The guf is better. It's just a godin to wrap my neshama. It's not my guf. So why do we say shalei asani goy? What shalei asani goy mean? Thank you, Hashem, that I am not a goy. You can't say that, because If you are your neshama, neshama is not a goy. Neshama, by default, is a yid. Neshama lives in a yiddish body. So what are you saying, shalei astani goy? Thank you, Hashem, that I'm not my neighbor, or I'm not the president of America, I'm not whatever you might think of. I'm not. If you're the neshama, what's shalei astani goy? And a kind of neshama, and a kind of neshama shall satal be. We say the neshama that you put into me, tahiri at the rosh, at the start, at on a fachta bekerbi. You blew it into me. It seems that we're talking about the neguf, and you gave me a neshama. Thank you for the neshama that you gave back to me. And v'chena v'chena. You see a lot of times. You see in Chazal. You see the whole time that the guf seems to be the main aspect of who you are. And you've got a neshama. You own a neshama. What's the pshat behind it? So a full pshat says this. And the Mishnah says in others. So you, by force, a person is born. Who's forcing? Why is it force? Where's the force? Who's not interested in being born? The neshama. Who's not interested in dying? Who's not interested in dying? The guf. Not the neshama. And then who's going up? Who's having them? It's the neshama. I think the storm say that's where the guf comes with, because the guf was the one who was the choyter. Why? It's not fair. The neshama says that what. I was with a goof when we did all these things, and now you're going to punish me? That's not fair. So I think the Psalm says that the Bereshit puts the neshama goof together. Is a neshama. So who are you, the goof or the neshama? So pshat as follows: the Bereshit was put into the goof, into this world, a neshama. Why? Why did he put into a goof? Why did he put into a goof? The Talmud says because the Bereshit wants that you should work with your neshama, avadis with your neshama, because the neshama is the makoya aruchni that a person has, and that's how a person can work. That's how a person can shine. But what's he working on? He's working on his guf. It's a fascinating nakuda. The Bnei Shalom wants not just you should just live like a oilam neshama, as if you're now in oilam emes. You know, we're now in oilam hazeh, and we've got a guf. We have mundane acts. We've got families. We've got parnasa. We've got all the things that we need. Which lechera is gashmi, but the Bnei Shalom wants that we should utilize our chelik haneshama so immensely that it overrides the guf. In other words, I'm supposed to look as if I'm now the guf. This is who I am. Why? Because this is where I'm supposed to be working on. I'm supposed to be working on my midas. Midas. Where's bad midas? Bad midas don't come from the neshama. Bad midas comes from the guf. Comes from the nefesh Bahamas. I'm supposed to be working on my chelik agashmi. The Bnei Shalom wants me to concentrate on my chelik agashmi that I've got, and I should be shut, and I should the shlita that my neshama has on me is so strong that it overrides the guf, and now the guf also becomes a chelik, also gets uplifted. We know this is like we all know this is like the tachlis of the olam hazeh. The Bnei Shalom wants that we should mahapach the olam hazeh to ruchni. I mean, so be'etzem avada I'm be'etzem the neshama. Oh, because when I'm down here, I'm supposed to be working, I'm supposed to be concentrating on my goof with my neshon. So basically, coming back to this nekuda, just summing up, is that be'ikah, a person needs to concentrate on his seichel, because that's better where it's shayach to make some sort of change. When the seichel is so strong, and the seichel, like we explained, comes from the olam aruchni, because that's where the neshon rests. So, Mira, if it's shayach, then there's a possibility for a person, then there's a chance for a person to have his guf as well changed with it. Because to fight directly head on the guf, it's very, very difficult. But if a person just jumps up like the airplane, he understands that he's got wings, and that's really who he is, then he understands that the guf betzim is not really, he'll take his whole guf up with him, like the airplane. He'll take everything up with him, even the parts that drive, everything will go up, because that's the ability, that's the way he can map it himself. There's a Yiddish expression, and I never understood it. To be honest, I never understood this expression. A mensch is wie sein Kopf ist. A person is where his head is. A person is where his seichel is. I never understood it. What do you mean? But so my seichel tells me, yeah, brother, I want to be a tzaddik. I want to do everything right. I want to daven. I want to learn. But I'm still doing all the. I'm still following all the tithes. The tithe says no, because if a person's seichel is so strong, then automatically he'll see that his goof will automatically come to. You see, tzaddikim, they can do this, they can serve Hashem hours and hours and hours on end, and they completely forget about the guf. How do they do it? Because the Torah says, because they're not concentrating on the guf. I'll just end up with this one last thing. There's a Yosidish version of Avodah that writes in Yom Kippur. He says, a person fasts, and we all know it comes to 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, it gets very hard. Where do we concentrate? What are we concentrating on? A lot of us are concentrating on our goal. We think to ourselves, it's getting a bit, I'm feeling a bit schwach, but it's 26 o'clock, we've only got an hour and a half. You know, we're concentrating on goof, and then we keep on going, So he says, it's such a shame. He says, you've only got 2 hours left. He said, there's not going to be any difference between if you think about your goof, if you think about the fact that you're hungry, you're not thinking about it, you're going to be the same hungry and the same weak all the way through. You've only got 2 hours. You might as well put your head into the seichel and to appreciate Yom Kippur, to appreciate every moment, how powerful you. It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference to what you're thinking now. It's not going to change. In fact, it makes it worse. When a person keeps on thinking about how weak he is, he feels even weaker. That's not good. Put ourselves, elevate ourselves into the chelik ha-seichel that we've got, and we'll see that we can strive a lot better. Shkoyach. Yeah.